Each time we celebrate confirmation, reception, and reaffirmation, the entire gathered community reaffirms our own baptismal covenant. And each time we do so, we are reminded that we must renounce evil in all its forms, while reaffirming our commitment to follow Christ. Tonight, I'm going to preach about evil. Perhaps more importantly, about the power we need to direct in overcoming evil with good. You see, the first time I came to Transfiguration on the Feast of the Ascension, I preached about waiting. We wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost after Jesus ascends into heaven. The second time, I preached about claiming our power, because the lessons for ascension are full of promises of power from on high. Tonight, I want to explore with you what we do with that power. And with the very real presence of evil in this world, I can think of no better use than to combat those evil powers with good. When I was young, I thought I was very clear about the nature of sin. Sin was a series of behaviors that were to be avoided. Sin was personal. It was simple and clear. Do not smoke, drink, swear, or gamble. There were a whole lot of set of prohibitions against sex with specific instructions about what was acceptable and what was not acceptable and at what age it was acceptable. The Ten Commandments were about as clear as anything can be concerning murder, stealing, coveting, and taking the name of the Lord in vain. It was exclusively personal. Sin was not presented as something that has to do with principalities and powers. Evil as a social or systemic reality that could be reflected in the racism or economic oppression of a society was neither presented nor discussed. If everyone would just stop doing the things they know are wrong, everything would be all right in the world. That's what I believed. The problem with that belief is that it trivializes evil. By making sin exclusively personal, we make evil far less of a problem than it actually is. We create the illusion that evil is manageable if we can just straighten out our own life. In some ways, this lets the devil off the hook. It subtly lessens our own need for God. The church then becomes a self-help program rather than a community struggling with the principalities and powers of the world. By letting the devil off the hook, we give evil more territory in which to operate without opposition or critique. The service of holy baptism in the 1928 prayer book contained a single statement of renunciation of, and this is a direct quote, "The devil in all his works, the vain pomp and glory of the world with all desires covetous of the same and the sinful desires of the flesh, so that thou wilt not be led nor follow them." End of quote. In our current prayer book, the 1979 Book of Common Prayer, the more traditional threefold renunciation of evil is articulated as it was originally articulated in the prayer book of 1549. And the threefold renunciation of evil gives us a much bigger picture of all the things that work against God in Christ to destroy us. Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? This is evil in the cosmos. Cosmic evil. We experience cosmic evil in the unmanageability of history, and the destructive power, for example, of diseases and terminal illnesses which are not the result of human sin. Earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, and other so-called natural disasters which produce irrational suffering in the world are not the acts of God insurance companies make them out to be. Fundamentally, evil is a mystery. We cannot fully explain it. But we can and should name the destructive powers at work in the world which are clearly at odds with God's bringing all creation to wholeness. Cancer is evil. Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? This is systemic evil. We experience systemic evil in the disordering of human affairs, in the structures of society and in human relationships. Racism, sexism, nationalism, militarism, and classism, all kinds of isms, are examples. So are forms of social, political, and economic life we create with the best intentions, but which result in depriving some groups or persons of some good that God intends for them. As individuals, we do not all by ourselves create these systems, but we are very easily co-opted by them, living along our own lives as if nothing were systemically wrong with the world. We cannot and should not be unaware of the insidious ways in which systemic evil infects our lives and our very souls. Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? This name's personal evil. We experience personal evil within us in our attraction to evil and our tendency to deny and distort the truth about ourselves and or about our world. Acts of pride, envy, lust, violence, sloth, greed, and gluttony are examples of personal evil. So are conditions of hatred, spirits of unbelief, attitudes of jealousy, and structures of destruction. Perhaps more commonly, we call personal evil sin. And just because personal evil focuses on the individual, it is not any less powerful than cosmic or systemic evil. Evil is insidious and powerful in all three of these forms, and we are so very vulnerable, capable too easily of being drawn into the powers of evil, sin, and death. We renounce it all at our baptism. Nevertheless, we fail, and we fail continuously. So what do we do? We are called to fight evil, but we are also called to know how to fight evil. Evil is not effectively resisted by hatred and with guns. Evil cannot be defeated with evil, negation with negation, terror with terror, missile with missile. The process of negation must be reversed. Only affirmation can overcome negation. Evil can be battled only by good. Hatred can be laid to rest only by love. The only response that has ever really worked is the response of Jesus, and that was to lead a life of love right to and through the end. It means to visit the sick, give to the poor, and help those in need. It means not only being aware of, but also working against the larger scale forms of systemic and cosmic evil. It means being in the world, but not of the world. It means being chosen out of the world, but sent into it in Christ's name. Sometimes we act as if we were simply dropped down into the world, and we have to decide how best to entertain ourselves until we die. But we need to remember that we are sent into the world by the God we believe in, just as Jesus was sent. Once we start living our lives with that conviction, we will begin to know what we were sent to do. Ultimately, we need to entrust ourselves to God, continuing to pray as Jesus did, "Deliver us from evil." Jesus was not concerned with explaining evil. Jesus was concerned with overcoming evil. As we pray, "Deliver us from evil," let us remember then the good news of the gospel. In Christ, we have a deliverer who by his crucifixion went through the worst evil any of us can know, descended into hell, and is alive today among the people who call him Lord. This is the good news we have to declare in word and sacrament. The Lord who teaches us to pray, "Deliver us from evil," is the one who can do it, both now in our worst agonies and in the age to come, when the victory will be complete and the powers of evil totally and eternally overcome. Amen.